I'll bring Jeff Merrick in here. He is host of the NHL and Sportsnet Hockey Central and Hockey Central Saturdays. Looking to build in a November, I think, Jeff, that probably looks a little more like we thought October was going to look. You know, Frederik Anderson's save percentage is getting back up there and starting to look representative again. That's, I don't know if we've discovered anything really great about this team. I think they are kind of the type of team we thought they were going to be, but it does appear, doesn't it, as if Mike Babcock's line juggling, which has kind of been consistent, if you want to call it, in November, it looks as if it's paid off.
It has, and you know what? It underscores something that you and I spoke about a couple of months ago, and we saw this with the Blue Jackets last year with their fourth line. We've seen various teams, Carolina comes to mind. You saw what Pittsburgh did the last couple of seasons en route to a couple of Stanley Cups. There's a new lesson in the NHL that smart teams are paying attention to. No matter what the scenario is, no matter what the trade or insertion may be, when you have a chance to improve with skill at any position at any time, you do it. And we know that Nylander is not a fourth-line player. He's not going to stay there for the balance of the season for any significant part of his career. But it underscores, you know, one very basic thing. If teams are going to roll four lines, you're much better off right now in the NHL, not trapping yourself in this old style of, well, our fourth line has to be like three Kirk Malfies out there. I mean, when you can improve with skill, you do it, and it will pay off almost immediately. You saw that yesterday with Nylander on the fourth line, who was probably the best player the Maple Leafs had on the ice for the full three periods. Outside of Chris Russell on the third. Sorry,
right.
Obligatory Steve Smith joke there. Sorry.
Hanging
fruit, and I had to.
This is God's honest truth. First thing I did when I got into the office this morning, is I looked up the Steve Smith goal again, because I was there, and I felt almost dirty doing it, because, you know, anybody who covered the NHL, Steve Smith was a great guy. I mean, he really was. And God love him, he manned up during that whole thing and everything. But I turned it on, I looked at it in YouTube, and I was still shaking my head thinking, I just can't believe I saw that.
Here's the thing that always crushes me about the Steve Smith goal. Was it more Grant Fuhr's fault or Steve Smith's fault? Because what's Grant Fuhr doing? Your puck is behind the net. As a goaltender, you hug the post there, and you give your defenseman the most ice in front of you to make a pass, because it might be across, it might be an east-west pass. So it's your job to free up that ice. Grant Fuhr is taking his time to get back to that post. Steve Smith throws it across, and it goes off his pad/gate and in. In a lot of ways, we shouldn't call that the Steve Smith goal. We should call that the Grant Fuhr goal. What I'm saying is here, Jeff, hot take Friday. I'm pinning more of that goal. Hot take Friday, something from 30 years ago. I'm pinning more of that goal on Grant Fuhr than I am on Steve Smith.
Yeah, and Grant Fuhr did kind of drift on that play.
Totally.
You know, but the lingering image, you know, I have is just Steve Smith collapsed on the ice.
And then it makes things worse is he was voted Calgary's most popular athlete that year. Piling on. It's like, oh my goodness, leave the man alone. And you're right, for it's almost as if, you know, Steve Smith owes every own goal player, whether it was, you know, Patrick Laine recently or now Chris Russell, owes him a phone call to say, it gets better. It's okay. You can move on from this.
That's right. It's the first thing they do is the first thing I'm sure somebody did yesterday with the Oilers is walk by and stick Steve Smith's phone number And you know what was, and the thing is, you know, people lose track. Steve Smith was a hell of a player, and he had a good series in. And
sure
Chris
was.
Russell had a great game. Chris Russell was, I thought, their best player last night.
Yep, yeah, he certainly was. I thought Chris Russell, and it wasn't just the goal that tied it either. I thought, and you know, a lot of people get on Chris Russell. He's a shot block machine, getting hemmed in, you know, becoming more of a one-dimensional third-pairing defense. But I'm with you. I thought Chris Russell played a heck of a game last night. When the Oilers went down early, it looks like this one was getting put out of reach. I mean, the entire team battled back, and front and center was Chris Russell. And you know what he's trying to do on the play. I mean, he's trying to lob that thing into the corner. You know, the only drag for Chris Russell on that play is that Chris Russell wasn't there to block the shot, the entire thing. But, you're right, the... The Steve Smith own goal support group needs to be a thing that happens in the NHL ASAP.
You know, Jeff, I wonder also, just that, you know, bringing it back to the fourth line a bit, and I think we heard a little bit of, I don't know if it was exasperation in Mike Babcock's voice. I think he was kind of saying, look, guys, you know, the fourth line is what the fourth line is. But if I'm a member of the Leafs and I am in the fourth line, I just take a look at Mike Babcock's track record and what he's done this year with guys who found themselves on there. I'll say this for Mike Babcock. It's not very hard to play your way out of his doghouse. It really isn't. And I don't think he sits there and tallies goals as a means of deciding how a guy gets out of his doghouse. I mean, look at Mitch Marner. I think in a lot of ways, it's a change of scenery thing. And the other thing about Mike Babcock, and I don't know if this is part of his psychology, but you know, when he juggles lines and practices the way he's done, it's almost like a comfort blanket for the player who's been demoted. It's like, look, I'm doing this all the time, right? This is just a matter of trying to get things that work. Don't read too much into what I've done with you here beyond, I think you can be better, I want you to get better. Don't get too big picture on it.
Nothing wrong with putting speed blocks or traps in front of young hockey players or hurdles in front of hockey players and ask them to jump over them. You know, there used to be the old Oilers dressing room, there used to be a sign there that said, you walked in and said, earned, not given.
Mm-hmm.
The irony of that in Edmonton is, you know, young hockey players were handed huge contracts and given top six spots and never had to earn anything. When you allow a hockey, Kelly Woody always talks about this with his time with the Islanders. When you give a hockey player speed bumps in front of his spot that he thinks is, or you put a roadblock in front or a hurdle in front, when you get that spot, when you finally earn that spot, you hold on to it because you don't forget the amount of hard work that it took to get that spot, as opposed to just, well, you know what? It says here on this piece of paper that you're going to be our, you know, future first line right winger. So here you go. We might as well get this over with since you're going to end up here eventually. I never think it's a bad thing for, you know, players to be given a dose of the fourth line, be given a dose of a healthy scratch, and, you know, wear a suit for a game or two. I think, honestly, if you look at the entire process of creating a legitimate high-end player, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing any of those things, and that includes, you know, spending a few games playing on the fourth line, see what you can do with it. Whether you go down there with Google Face or whether you go down there and say, I got to work my way back up to the top.
The Leafs are now, what, 1 point behind Tampa Bay for first in the Atlantic Division. As we've said, you know, it's been just a few games where they've had everybody firing on all cylinders. And I don't know, frankly, if they've had a game where everybody's been firing on all cylinders and they've got really good goaltending at the same time. Like, I look at where they are in the standings. And I said at the start of the year, I've got an odd approach to this year, Jeff. These guys could very well end up being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs, depending on the matchup. I want to see this team have a good regular season. That's how I'm going to judge this year. Next year, we can start getting into, okay, you know, what are your chances of winning the Stanley Cup? I want to see a good regular season this year, take what I can get in the playoffs, and then look forward to next year.
Not unfair. I think the expectation, though, is, you know, not just make the playoffs, but, you know, do something outside of the first round. But I don't think, I mean, you look at the Los Angeles Kings before they went on their sort of, you know, mini little rip, and it was first round exit after first round exit. And then, you know, all the talk became, well, they built a team that can't get out of the first round. Good regular season. And then you have that, you know, added pressure, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing because, again, you're putting a team in a vice grip and you're saying, okay, what are you going to do here? Are you going to, you know, we've dragged you to deep water now. Are you going to swim or just tread water? And that goes to the, you know, the mental, not just physical, but mental makeup of an individual player and an individual team. One of the interesting things, and you mentioned, you know, the Maple Leafs right up there with the Tampa Bay Lightning, who in a lot of ways, if you look at Tampa, beginning of the season, they're playing full 16-minute games and overwhelming teams. And, you know, most recently, a couple of nights ago against Boston, they're playing 20 minutes of a game. But when they turn it on, I mean, it's a thing of beauty. But the interesting thing to me about the Atlantic specifically, if we concede that there's going to be five coming from the Metro, I think we're pretty much all on the same page that there's a good shot that five teams are coming out of the Metro. That means three teams are coming out of the Atlantic for the playoffs. And if you say to yourself, well, Tampa and Toronto are going to be, you know, tucked away, you know, they've done enough work so far to put themselves in that position. You know, Jeff, then you start looking at, you know, only one of these teams is going to make it, and that includes Ottawa, Montreal, Boston, Florida. You know, this is a recipe for a lot of firings. Mm-hmm. You know, if Tampa and Toronto are already tucked away, Montreal started to turn things around now that Carey Price is back. Ottawa is going the other way and fast, which is disappointing. Boston, you know, sometimes look like world beaters. Other times, they look like a team that's in transition, which in a lot of ways they are. They've been decimated by injuries. Florida, you still don't know what you're getting. This is going to be an interesting dogfight if Toronto and Tampa are already you know, playing hide, you know, playing we're taking our puck and hiding. If only one of those squads is going to make the playoffs, do you pick it? Montreal, Ottawa, Boston, Florida? That's some heartache at the end of the season.
The Leafs will go on to face the Vancouver Canucks, one of the positive stories in the NHL this year, certainly. I think they're well ahead of what a lot of people thought they'd be. Travis Green, I think, giving support to a lot of people who had a lot of confidence in him and thought he was going to be, thought he had the makings of being a really good coach. What's the concern for the Leafs going into this game against the Canucks? And, you know, especially Canucks team that seems to, you know, as if they've needed it, has seemed to found a bit of a rallying point around Derek Dorsett's unfortunate situation as well.
They did last night. That was a wonderful win for Vancouver against a really tough Nashville Predators team. And it was a come-from-behind win against the Nashville Predators team. And all the congrats to Daniel Sedin, enjoys his brother Henrik, 1,000 points in the NHL. Brock Besser continues to be a story. You know, that whole top line, and it's young, you know, Sven Berchi, Bo Horvat, Brock Besser. Brock Besser continues to be a story. 13 goals for the rookie. And you talk about the players that have the great releases in the game, and really quickly we talk about, you know, Vladimir Tarasenko. We talk really quickly about Nikita Kucherov. I'll put Besser in that on the other week. To watch the puck fly off this guy's stick. I mean, it's like Tarasenko. I still think Tarasenko is the best in the NHL at that quick release. But I'll put Brock Besser right in that conversation. That's the one. And again, last night with two of them.
Oh my God, that wrist shot, that top shelf wrister was like lightning.
Nothing, right? Just like quick little snap of the wrist. I mean, it's in there fast. So that's a bright light for the future for the Vancouver Canucks. You know, outside of last night's big win against Nashville, it looks as if they had started to come back down to earth a little bit. I don't think that many expect them to be there come playoff time when all the teams get slotted. Having said that, the Pacific, in a lot of ways, is still very much jump ball, and who knows who's going to end up in the playoffs there. It's maybe the weakest division in the entire NHL, so place your bets. Why not Vancouver? But it seems that they have, you know, sort of come back down to earth a little bit recently, but where not that long ago we said, wow, there's not a whole lot of future for the Vancouver Canucks. Inside a couple of months, you're starting to see where the bright sparks are going to be for the future when the Sedins finally shuffle off and fully turn this team over to the Bessers, to the Horvats, to the players they've drafted that are still on the horizon.
You liked the idea of Travis Green as a coach, didn't you?
I do. I like Travis Green a lot. I think, first of all, he's a player's coach. I mean, I could take small exception, you know, with some player selection at the beginning of the season. Like, why was Brock Besser scratched the first couple of games? Travis Green has his own reasons. But I was a big fan of Travis Green when he coached Portland in junior. I knew a couple of the players on Utica when he coached there in the American Hockey League. And he's one of those guys that players, A, respect, and B, love. And we'll go through a wall for us. So I'm a big fan of that hire and a big fan of Travis Green.